As I was thinking about how to start this sermon, it's always one of the hardest things. You got to get this airplane up in the air so that you can have a flight with me. And you're always thinking, how do I do this today? So I thought about two words. But I don't know what the two words are. They're two words you have. And I'm thinking about a favorite vacation. Can you picture that in your mind? Can you reduce it to two words? Good. Turn to somebody and tell them about your vacation with two words. Yeah, go ahead, do it. I should be able to hear some of that. Okay, two words and a lot of laughter, because, you know, how do you remember broken car, you know, flat tire, you know, the things that made that vacation? Well, I thought about it, and when I was thinking about vacation, I was thinking of two words, New Orleans. You know, when I think about that vacation in New Orleans, beside the 22 amazing meals, the five oyster bar happy hours, all of those amazing treats that we had through the day, and beignets at Café du Monde. I had to pause for a moment. They're divine. But the thing that reminds me of that vacation are the pop-up parades. Anybody been there for one of those? I mean, you'll be out in town, you're wandering around, you're looking at the sights, you're a tourist, and suddenly you're in the midst of somebody's parade. Apparently you can pay a little money and they'll actually let you have your own parade. But you've got these people and they're just wandering around, and then there's this gathering, there's floats, there's flowers, there's people, there's hooting and hollering, there's music and beads, strings of beads. I think they invented them just for New Orleans so that people just wear strings of beads and they throw them to you. And the beautiful thing about it is everybody kind of got sucked into these parades. They had no idea what they were for. Could have been somebody's birthday. They could have been celebrating because it was the only Tuesday this week. But they just love to be together. A pop-up parade. And then I was thinking about two other words, Palm Sunday. Let's say that together. Palm Sunday. It's okay. But that's today. And, you know, as you think about Palm Sunday, you think about that first Palm Sunday, there was a parade. Jesus was entering Jerusalem. He had come to do a very particular thing. Now, his disciples were tagging along because it was Passover. And they were there to celebrate and to remember God delivering them from the nation of Egypt, from their slavery. But Jesus had come to die. I don't think I've ever come to town to do something like that. But he had come to die. He was about to complete his redemptive mission on the planet. And then this parade broke out. And people were kind of sucked in. And they became part of it. Now, it was a little bit different. I mean, there was no floats. There was no trucks. There was no beads. Now, there were branches. Children were modeling that for us this morning. But the people just, they got caught into it. The excitement, it was contagious. And then there was noise. They were partying. They were celebrating. Now, some of the people, they knew Jesus. They knew about Jesus. Other people were just there. They got caught up. You know, this guy was with his girlfriend, and she had heard about Jesus, and she dragged him along. And, you know, there were some kids there because their parents had heard, and they dragged him along. And then other people were curious. They wanted to see. They wanted to see this one they had heard of. Perhaps he would perform for them. You know, do one of those miracles they had heard of. Maybe give one of those sermons, those dynamic sermons. You know, like when you come here? You know, they wanted to hear one of those sermons. Or perhaps he would go nose to nose with the Pharisees. Talk about entertainment, taking them down a notch. It's kind of like today. On any given Sunday, people everywhere in church are gathered for this very same thing. Some of them are there for the entertainment value. Some are there because they want to catch a glimpse of someone, something bigger than themselves. Some of them come in with holes and wounds they're sure can't be fixed. And then other people are just along for the ride. It's church. You know that. You know what it's like. But there's a certain level of beauty in this gathering. Because when we come together, there are certain things we can count on. Somebody's going to spill their coffee. Somebody's little kid's going to squawk, and several people are going to go. And I'm going to go, woohoo, say it again. But the one thing that always happens, and it depends on you and me, if we're open, Jesus happens. He happens right there just for me, or just for you. But it's a very personal thing. They were outside Jerusalem. They were on a street, a road, a dirt path, headed to what was going to be the ultimate for you and me. What happened there would make a difference for us for the rest of our lives. Arrived for a Passover feast, a celebration, or for completing a redemptive mission. Now, we heard about this. This is what Mike read for us a few moments ago. Luke 19, 28 to 44. A man riding on a donkey, on the colt of a donkey. Cloaks and palm branches are on the road. Coats are on the back of the donkey. And there was noise. You're going to make some noise for me. Because I want to try to picture what this sounded like. So there's two quotes up on the screen here. The blessed is the king. You over there in that section, that's your part. Okay? Let's read that together, everybody in that section. Okay, now, when I ask you to do it, I mean, do it like you're outside and you want everybody to hear you, okay? Or those of you who are parents, like you need to get your child's attention right before they run. Okay. Okay, this section, you've got the second line. Let's practice.
He's in heaven and glory in the highest.
There's just more of them, don't worry. Okay, you're the first line. Let's practice. Blessed are the... Okay, and you guys, you know what your part is? Yeah, you're just going to do doo-wop, doo-wop, wop, wop. No, you've got the second line. Go ahead, do it. Okay, now, here's the scene. Jesus has just arrived. He actually is here waiting for you. He has just arrived. You've recognized him, and you are shouting because you want his attention. You want God's attention. So let me hear what it was like that morning. Yeah, and down front there's a little kid going, "Mommy, where's my Kool-Aid?" This is beautiful stuff. And in this, as we read this passage, as we listen to the sound of the people, and I hope you could hear it in your head, the sound of the people. And it couldn't be stopped. That's what we read in the passage, verse 39. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd, they were the ones that people wanted to see Jesus take down a notch. But some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. This is outrageous. You don't do this kind of stuff, yelling in church." But Jesus said, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the pews will scream my name." Back then it was rocks. They didn't have pews yet. But this is exactly why this passage is important. This is why we come to church. It's about Almighty God. He had drawn close. He had come near in the person of Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, the eternal Son of God. And he was right there on the back of a donkey. And he was recognized. And there were people, and some of them didn't know yet that they had come there because they needed Jesus. But they were part of the crowd, and they were shouting, and they were screaming, and they were yelling, and they were throwing their clothes on the ground so that Jesus didn't have to walk on the dirt. They were cutting branches out of people's yards and laying them on the road so the donkey had something to walk on. And that's sort of what we've done so far this morning. We've lifted our voices. We have shouted out to God. We've sung our song to him. We have thrown our coats, our palm branches. We did an offering. It's more controlled. But we've done that this morning because we're here to honor him. We've taken the time. There's probably something every one of us in this room could have done this morning instead of this. But we're here because this is important. Because Jesus is important. Because we need something from him. We want to connect with him in some new way. And God's always there. He's always doing stuff around us. And sometimes I think he's just showing off. You know, in the middle of a storm when the sky cracks open and there's this beautiful rainbow. He didn't have to do that, but he did. It reminds us of him. And you're hiking in the woods and it's early in the season, and you see this little spot of color and you look and it's a flower you've never seen before. Didn't have to be there. It's God. I think he's showing off. Sometimes I think he's just trying to get our attention. And this morning, I don't want to preach through the passage that was read. You know that. But I want to take you to Psalm 145. If you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn there with me. I know they're going to toss the words up here. Sometimes it's just good to read and touch. But this is a praise psalm. This is a psalm that was written in response to an encounter with God. The psalmist, something had happened. He became aware that God is in a different way. You and I could become poets, psalmists, if we stopped in those moments where we caught an image of God, felt his closeness, realized his healing, if we just put it in words. This is what this psalmist wrote. I'm only going to look at the first 7 verses. You're responsible for the other 14 verses on your own, okay? First 7 verses, Psalm 145, I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will exalt you. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your work to another, and they tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim of your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. My friends, what song does your heart sing when you catch glimpses of God in the moments of your daily life? What bubbles up within you? We have the bubbling up of this psalmist in these words. And it's a classic psalm. There's two basic elements to a praise psalm, and they're both in here. I love it. And what he does is he tells us the what and why of worship. The first thing is he talks about the nature of praise. He's actually going to define what he's doing, what he's moved to do, the what. But then he's going to tell us the reason for what he does, the why of worship. And so here we have this beautiful, beautiful psalm. And though the psalmist in this psalm is not inviting us, other psalms say, clap your hands with me, shout with me. He's not saying that here, but it's hard not to get caught up when people are caught up in worshiping God to join them. So notice the first couple of lines with me. I will exalt, I will lift you, my God and King. I will lift you up. I will praise, that is applaud. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol or glorify your name forever and ever. In these first 4 lines, the nature of praise or the nature of worship are captured in several words. He used the word exalt, the word praise, the word extol. He actually used God's name, God the King. And all of these responses are forms of lifting up. And you lift things up because you want people to see them. And so he had an encounter with God, and he's going to lift up God so that others can see him. And when he lined these up, they're accumulating. The pile is becoming bigger and bigger. And when you think about worship, the more that are added to it, the more that are the things that are added to it, the more pieces of God that we recognize, we capture a greater desire to worship. It's like a snowball, rolling it and rolling it and rolling it, and it gets to the top of the hill, and it starts rolling on its own. The praise band. the scripture reader, even me this morning. We're trying to get you to the edge of the cliff, to roll up your snowball, to get you to the point where you let loose and you do your thing. And that's what the psalmist is doing here when he's describing worship, prepping us to do our thing. And why would we do that? The psalmist had an awareness of God. There is a God, and that God is the king. Not a king, he is the king. He has a name that's above all other names. Matter of fact, it's a name that just demands attention. A name so impressive that worship is the response. That's just the first two verses. Notice verse 3 and 4. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to the next. They tell of your mighty acts. Again, the nature of praise. He offers the word praise. Now we're commending. We're telling and retelling. We're lifting up and passing along. What I saw, I've lifted up, and I'm telling you so you can see it, so you can pass it along from generation to generation. How many people are here? I'm just curious. At least two or three generations away from the first believer in your family line. Yeah, there's a number of you. Because your parents told you, their parents told them, their parents told them. This is what the psalmist is describing here. Worship is experienced. It is shared. And not just the event. We don't just invite people to come to church. We invite them to Jesus. So the church makes sense. And the reason for his praise, this piling up of stuff, was God's greatness, God's worth. Put a price tag on what Jesus has done for you. God, try it. Psalmist couldn't do it. He talked about God's works. He talked about his mighty acts. Again, he's piling these up. There's not just one thing he's thankful for. There's a multitude of things that have just been feeding his soul. And it's not just any king, but it's Almighty God, King of Kings, the Great One. How often do you stop and count your blessings? Isn't that a cute little song? Count your blessings, name them one by one. That's what the psalmist is doing. And I know you know what he's doing. So what I want you to do, I want you to turn to the person next to you. I want you to tell them just one great thing you know about Jesus. God, one great thing you know about Jesus. They did it. You could do it. Come on. One great thing. Some of you are all nervous. You have to talk in church. But this is what Sunday could be like. If we got what the psalmist is doing, we would want to rush here because there's something I saw, I experienced with God this week that others need to know. They know that he still heals. They need to know that he answers prayer. They need to know that he helps people find jobs. They need to know that he wraps himself around us when we're scared. And it happened to me. This should be you and me boasting about our God and who he is and what he does, how big he is, how good he is, how faithful he is. You and me, awed and stopped, moved to worship. It's almost like we're playing spiritual peekaboo with God. We run around in our day, crazy, crazy busy, and God peeks out and goes, whew, I'm here. And we're stopped because we remembered that we hadn't remembered him up until that peekaboo. And then off we're running again. And he stops us and peek, and he's there again. What would happen if we caught those moments and claimed them and counted them? Would we find ourselves worshiping outside of the sanctuary? The psalmist goes on. He talks about they. We always have they. We talk about they, them. But he says, they, these are people who know about God. They know stuff about God. I hope you're a they. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate with abundant goodness and joyfully sing of righteousness, your righteousness. And here we have a ramping up of praise. They speak of it, they tell of it, they celebrate. They talk about God's majesty. You know, it's like three or four of you out in the lobby going, yeah, God's really good, isn't he? Yeah, he's pretty good, he's amazing. But then it's not just that, they're telling others. It's out in the lobby looking for somebody you don't know and telling them, God's great. Hey, when was the last time you saw God? I saw God this week, Thursday afternoon. It was right after I got fired. God was there, he took care of me. I hope that's not your story, but they talked about, they told others. And then they celebrated God's goodness. Isn't that what you and I are supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be hanging out together, loving one another, talking about what we're experiencing with Jesus. And then we're to be witnesses, talking about what we talk about with people who know what we do, but we're doing it with other people. And why do we do that? Well, because we've been sent. But it's our life, or it should be. We shouldn't have to wait for God to peek out and go, hi, gotcha. We should be looking for him so that we can celebrate him. And the psalmist brings this to us because God is God, and God is awesome. God does great things. They move us to ponder. How can he do that? Why would he do that? Why would he do that for me? God's works are beyond great. There's some things that I've experienced with God I just ache to tell somebody. I just want them to know what I just discovered. And somehow this knowing God, just knowing God, should kindle a flame within us that we would want to worship. So isn't this why we gather on Sunday mornings? To worship? Because he's been kindling this fire in us all week. He's been playing peekaboo with us. He's been catching us in those moments. He's been stirring us in our complacency. He's been trying to energize us so that we would actually go and tell. And sometimes we have to come back here to be reminded, yep, that's what we're doing. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. Palm Sunday. It focuses on Jesus's triumphal entry. But I didn't want to just focus on that because it's a slice of history. Now, it's an important slice of history. But I wanted us to get excited again. And I thought about bringing in a donkey and some people in bathrobes. But Matt probably wouldn't want the cleanup afterward. And so I had the passage read to us. Because we know, or most of us know, and the rest of us have heard that. But there, the people knew about Jesus, and they knew that Jesus was worth celebrating. Do you know that Jesus is worth celebrating? But did they all know? Did they know that God had drawn near? That he was not far off, but he was right there. Is that your experience this morning? Do you know God? Or do you know God? Because he's drawing near. And I'm wondering about the triumphal entry. As we read these words of Psalm 145, this building excitement, as we talk about, as we share, as we celebrate.